How's it going, sports fans? And welcome to the biggest sports show in TO, Sports from the Six, here for episode number 27. I'm your host, Flip Livingstone, here with my beautiful co-host, Joseph Narsa. Today on the show, we're talking Edwin Encarnacion's contract negotiations and deadline.
David Price wanting to stay in the Six?
Does our podcast have a bigger budget than the Blue Jays?
And will it ever be stammer time in TO?
What's going on with the Leafs goaltending? Is their best tender back in the AHL?
And the Leafs' future definitely is starting to look bright in London, Ontario.
On the hard court, the injury bug bites the Raptors.
And our shout-out to AK. Has Toronto found their superstar?
And Golden State is still undefeated.
Those guys are good.
Joe, they are good, and you know what? You're good, buddy, and you're looking nice. Did you get a haircut?
I did get a haircut. Me and Jonathan Bernier, we get our haircut from the same guy. I fly all the way to Quebec just to get it done.
That sounds pricey, and I don't know what they're paying you at work, but I want it. You know what, Joe? It's just my favorite time of the week coming in here talking sports with you, pal.
Same.
The lineup we put together, like, we're getting professional here. We're actually going to maybe stick to 40 minutes on the show.
Yeah, we're going to do our best. We like to hear ourselves talk more than you guys probably like to hear us talk.
That's for sure. Like, shout out to the 10 people listening. So,
yeah,
you
know,
we're up to 10. We're up to 10 followers. Thank you so much, guys. I say we jump right into it, pal. Jays. A lot of pressing issues at hand for this team going into the winter meetings.
I mean, this whole organization, since the departure of Alex Anthopoulos, has been in fix-it mode and trying to recover and salvage their hot end to the season. I mean, right off the bat, we're going to get into David Price for sure. But Encarnacion almost putting the proverbial gun to the Blue Jays' head saying, hey, by spring training, by the last day of it, if I'm not signed, I'm gone. And you know what's very intriguing? The ultimate designated hitter of all time is done at the end of this year. And if Encarnacion goes and fills Ortiz's spot, that'll really hurt the Jays.
It's definitely a pressing issue for the Jays. I think I actually respect the move of Encarnacion coming out and setting a deadline for negotiations. I think it shows that he's going to take this year seriously. Not that he doesn't take every year seriously, but you can tell that this contract, it's a big year for him, which I think is only going to pay dividend for the Jays. He's coming off another great season, a couple of great seasons power numbers-wise for the Jays. And I just really think that him in a contract year, he's about to get paid. And if he can put up the big numbers, the contract that he's going to get offered is massive. Do I think the Jays can get a deal done before? I really don't see that happening. But like you said, the front office, the team in general, this offseason, it's been kind of opposite the way the regular season has gone. Not their way.
Yeah, and the other thing too is we kind of start hearing the same message that was given to us at the beginning of the Anthopoulos era. We're going to be good, but this way. And we're going to sustain winning. But we're not going to be spending crazy money. Like, relax, Toronto. We're not going to have a big budget. We're going to get it done the way we're doing it. The issue is that all of this is being said to Blue Jays fans after Blue Jays fans witnessed Toronto be a top 10 payroll in baseball, become a fourth best team in Major League Baseball, and then not have the opportunity to continue that ride. It's scary for the Blue Jays fans. And when you think about Encarnacion's contract, like, Ortiz is making $16 million a year. If you can't get close to $16 million a year or above for Edwin Encarnacion, then there's no way you're going to be a viable option for any free agent moving forward.
I realistically think he's going to get 20. I think he could get 20 per.
Okay.
If he has a good season.
But here's the thing. His deadline is before the season.
True.
Now, here's the thing.
Good point.
And you're made probably the best point here. You're looking at Encarnacion's free agent value.
True.
The Blue Jays have the luxury of not getting into that conversation. What did we see first off with Price and free agency? Dave Dombrowski said, bring it. Because I got more than you guys have.
Boston's been killing it this offseason.
The Angels walked away at $195 million or something like that. Boston was almost kind of haggling with themselves. It's like, okay, David, 205, 215. No, 218. And he's like, okay, guys, I'll stay.
Let's move right to it. David Price, there's been a lot that's come out since the deal's gotten done with Boston, from his agent, from him, from the Jays, from fans, obviously. The way it went down, and I was talking to you off the show, it's hard for me not to be a biased, bitter Jays fan because obviously you wanted Price back.
For sure.
But the team, I think, overall is in good shape.
Right.
But to stay on David Price, you know, his agent came out and said he would have happily gone back to Toronto.
Yeah.
You got to take that with a grain of salt because I think you made a good point. You know, he's going to soften the blow for when he comes back to Toronto.
Agreed.
But do you think that's any fabric of truth to that statement?
Here's the thing. I think if you're a jaded sports fan, you think he's a liar.
Right.
I think if you are a purist and you really listen through the conversations and the quotes and the feelings of David Price during his tenure with the Toronto Blue Jays, there is no way you can't believe that David Price wanted to stay in this city. David Price was excited about the littlest things about Toronto.
Popcorn.
Exactly. He knew about the city. He said in his first press conference, I've been to Toronto. This place is amazing. I know how great it is. I've been in the AL East for a long time. I love this city before I was even here playing. Being here, I'm excited. Him and Stroman seem like the best of friends.
They do still seem to have a good relationship.
Yeah, and you see that tweet where Stroman chirped David Price?
Well, there was a bunch of interesting tweets from Stroman. Stat guy, could you get some tweets up? We'll get some tweets up for you. But there was a lot of back and forth, and I think that's an interesting part because there's definitely a connection still to the team.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the opt-out clause. In David Price's contract.
Okay, so yeah, David Price has the third-year opt-out clause. Right. After his third year, he can walk. The assumption, I think, for David Price is I think he's looking more so to find the right team to win with, and he's not going to just settle and sit down on millions of dollars because he knows he can recover that.
I guess then after 3 years, maybe he's going to try out the Yankees just to keep
to destroy the AL. Just and then retire with Baltimore then literally be the king of the AL East.
Just be the best pitcher the AL East has ever seen.
But you know what's funny? You look at pitchers that have been really, really big in the AL East, you've seen some movement in between. Like Roger Clemens gone from the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Yankees.
Nice comparison.
And you look at David Price, in 3 years, if Price really did love Toronto, and Toronto actually has a budget that spends money, maybe David Price will look back at Toronto and say, hey, you know what? Eddie's 36. You know, Jose's shutting her down in a year. This team's young. Donaldson's still a star.
Yeah,
Tulo's
still
defensively sound. Should I go back?
I still love the core of the team.
Right.
And I think that's what a point that has kind of gone under the radar with all the talk and all the J.A. Happ people aren't so happy with.
Yeah.
Is the team is still a solid core.
Right.
You still have excellent pieces there and also pieces that they brought in like Ben Revere. Is he going to be there at the start? Me too. I
love Ben Revere. I love what he brings to the plate. I love him defensively.
Yeah.
But so I have a question for you because I think lately it's been very tough for Blue Jays fans to look at any type of additions without thinking, oh my God, like that really, you had to spend that money on that guy or, oh yeah, that's great. Another guy who was good for 16 games and now he's getting paid half of what we should have been paying Price. Fantastic. But
don't sound too excited over there, pal.
Well, I'm just sounding like Toronto.
You're just getting upset about the budget.
I'm not upset yet. We're getting there.
Oh, he's getting warmed up, people.
So there's a pitcher available right now that really intrigues me that I haven't heard anybody talk about yet, and it's Henderson Alvarez. Former Blue Jay.
Non-tendered by the
non-tendered, so the Blue Jays wouldn't lose a pick. Henderson Alvarez was at least number two pitcher when healthy with Miami Marlins.
I loved his arm. I love that young pitcher.
He's
for sure.
got stuff, and he's got good heat.
Now, but
is that a contract where, say, you offer Henderson Alvarez single-digit millions, would that not round out the rotation and give you an actual, I would say, at that point, the best rotation in the AL East because, realistically, it's not getting any better other than Tampa Bay.
It's definitely something that I have not thought about, to be honest. Do I think that's something the Jays would do? I could see it happening. I think the reason why maybe not a move hasn't been done yet or we haven't heard about any moves is I'm starting to think more that they might stretch out Sanchez. I'm just thinking that that's becoming more and more of a possibility. The fact that Mark Lowe just signed for $6.5 million in Detroit, that makes me be a little bit more concerned because now the bullpen is definitely moving to the top of the needs list.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Ross Atkins does, the new GM, Ross Atkins. That's happened since we've been back in the booth. So, you know, congrats to the new GM, I guess, who's coming from Cleveland. Tony La Cava is still going to be running the team.
Don't you feel like Tony La Cava is the guy who, if he sees you with a cold, he's like, hey, Flip,
yeah,
come here. Let me give you a hug, buddy.
Tony's the guy you want cooking you breakfast in the morning when you're really hungover. It's like, hey, have another piece of bacon. Come on, have two, have three. But
here's some grappa.
He did get a promotion.
Yeah.
Technically, he's moved up in his title. But Ross Atkins will be the general manager moving forward. Currently in the winter meetings, Tony La Cava will be running the team.
Yeah, Tony La Cava winter meetings will be running.
I mean, like moving forward as of like maybe the start of the year. But in terms of getting to there, it's going to be Tony's team. Will they open up the budget, Joe? Are they gonna spend some money, or are they gonna stand pat and try and maybe restack the deck, if you will, with some young prospects, which also might cost money. But, you know, are you angry enough to talk about them spending money?
Listen, I am. And we're going to introduce a little segment that's going to be called, Are You Kidding Me?
There it is.
Are You Kidding Me? We're going to start off with the Toronto Blue Jays being the Are You Kidding Me segment for Sports from the Six.
Boom.
Let's look at this logically. A lot of guys have come out and reported that David Price's contract is going to be terrible in year 6 and 7. David Price is way overpaid. David Price, as in some people's eyes, is an albatross of a contract. For what? What is David Price's contract an albatross for? What is David Price's contract crippling toward? Nothing. I talked to so many Leaf fans when the Leafs had signed Mike Babcock, and they said, oh, how stupid. What a waste of money. Who cares? You're the same fans that complain when you spend $300 on a ticket and you don't ever see that money get spent back for you for free. The contract for David Price doesn't hurt anybody in baseball because there's no salary cap in baseball. Rogers missed out on an opportunity of moving a juggernaut forward. They slammed the brakes on it in the sense of not being able to spend. The budget doesn't matter, Blue Jays fans. What they're doing is they're constantly giving you this mantra that the budget would be hurt. It's going to hurt the team moving forward. But that's only based on the fact that the team refuses to spend more money. And Flip, the most frustrating thing is after Troy Tulowitzki was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays, the Blue Jays acquired $47 million of revenue. The Blue Jays did that in 60 games. Even if you extrapolate that by double, which is not a full season, the Blue Jays would have made upwards of $94 million. The Blue Jays would have been able to pay off David Price arguably within a year and a half to 2 years of Price's contract. It's ridiculously frustrating. And the fact that they pander and tell Blue Jays fans that you have no reason to worry because we couldn't have afforded him and that would have hurt us in the future is complete ridiculousness. So Blue Jays organization and the owners and fans, do me a favor. Give Mark Shapiro a little bit of a break. He is working under the same constraints as Alex Anthopoulos, and Anthopoulos had to work long and hard for 2 years to make the moves he did to make you happy. I'm not saying love the guy. I'm saying relax on the guy. But Blue Jays ownership? Are you kidding me?
First of all, Joe, couple claps.
Thank you.
Because you're heated. You're sweating.
I'm so, I can't breathe.
Get the sweat
the
there.
Dab.
Dabs, couple dabs. First of all, that was legit. Second of all, extrapolate, very big word. I'm currently Googling it.
I started sweating when I said
like,
extrapolate.
How do you spell extrapolate? Because I was like, oh my God, he's going there.
Yeah.
But all very valid points. I think what hits home hardest to me is salary cap.
It doesn't exist.
There is no salary cap. Where there is a salary cap, though, and one that does affect contracts, deals, and moves a lot more, the NHL.
Right, and you know, you were just saying that the NHL announced that their salary cap could potentially, this is just a idea, could go up to $75 million.
Soft number, yeah.
And I believe it was at, what, 71.5, 72 last year?
That sounds, yeah, it's not a huge jump, no. But it's a little bit of wiggle room, and you know, it all depends on the strength of the Canadian dollar,
right.
Which is worse than it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
So that is definitely over my head in terms of economics and numbers.
Know nothing about it.
But the cap is supposed to go up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to affect big deals like players like Steven Stamkos. That's all Leaf fans can talk about right now, it seems, other than Garrett Sparks, is the Stamkos rumors. Will it ever be Stammer time in Toronto? We mentioned it off the top. Pal, will it ever be Stammer time in Toronto sooner than later? I could see...
I think it's sooner or nothing.
Because I could see him... couple more years in Tampa, and then we don't know, and then maybe, you know, near the twilight, he comes home for a swan song.
Yeah.
Toronto fans want prime time meat and potatoes.
Yeah,
Christmas
want,
is coming up.
Yeah.
They want the stuffing.
Listen,
I want the
gyros, like the Stammer, like the $5 gyro Stammer.
You want the whole student special.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want the late night stuff that you can barely eat.
Okay, well... hopefully for Toronto sports fans. The rumors are going crazy right now.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. That's the struggle for the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. When Chicago... it's funny because people talk about Chicago's contract for Kane and Taves possibly crippling their salary cap. They kind of deserve it. I mean, when you win like when you win 3 Stanley Cups and now one player...
Yeah,
who,
boo-hoo.
Yeah, right?
Like, and sorry, I don't feel sorry.
Patrick Kane is arguably the most valuable player in the NHL right now.
Other than Jamie Benn, for sure.
Right. And you're looking at a team that has the ability to continue to contend for at least a couple more years. I don't know how much of a struggle their cap situation is going to be, but Stamkos is interesting because... my argument towards Stevie Y being crazy to not sign him is Palat, Tyler Johnson, all those guys are good because Stamkos gets all the looks. Stamkos is the guy the defensemen are worried about.
When 100%.
Keith and Seabrook and Chara and all these studs and Weber, they're on the ice. They're not worried about Andre Palat. I'm sorry.
No.
They're worried about Steven Stamkos.
100%.
And I think... it's going to be intriguing to see if Stevie Y believes the core is worth more than Stamkos, or if you lose Stamkos, can the core continue to be dominant? And I don't think it can be. So I think you should sign him if he's not crazy.
I think at the end of the day, he's not going to leave Tampa Bay.
Really?
I
should we put another $20 bet, like the whole Babcock thing? He lost that bet, by the way. I won that bet.
Yeah, it's... I don't want to talk about losing bets because, you know, this show does go public and I'm already 0-3 from my picks.
Yes.
So I got to try and salvage that from last week. Also, yeah, we'll just leave it
at that.
We'll
give you some, but we'll make sure you can win this time.
What were we just talking about?
We're talking about Stamkos coming to Toronto.
It's not going
to
happen for this reason.
Okay. God hates Toronto.
God hates Toronto, one.
Yes.
And the second reason is it's just too good to be true.
Is it, though?
Is it? Because also, check this out. I read yesterday, Steven Stamkos' parents just bought a massive home in Fort Lauderdale.
Everybody's parents buy a house in Fort Lauderdale.
Right? I was just, when I was like, oh, that's a big deal. Like, oh, he's going to stay. And I was like, wait, it's Florida.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Me and
there.
You almost bought one of those hotels at Hogan's.
Part of my soul is still at the Best Western Tampa Bay.
Right?
But who knows, right? Who knows? Is it something that would change the face of the franchise? I think so.
100%.
I think Stamkos is that kind of player. Also, he's from Toronto.
Yeah.
He's not from Sudbury.
No.
You know, he's from the GTA. And I think the longer that it goes and I don't hear any, like, numbers from Tampa Bay and I don't hear any, like, solid things, then the Toronto Maple Leaf fan in me starts to run wild with excitement. And I just think he would look so good in blue and white.
Well, the other thing, too, is...
like, how good would he look in blue and white?
Oh, my God. Well, he's already wearing blue and white. We just got to get him the right jersey.
Right, but, like, honestly, I think I'd buy 5 jerseys and just
wear
them.
I'd buy, like, a step, and then and then a coast. Like, I'd have all
just
3.
Just to be different?
Just in case. But you know what? There's been that talk in the last year and a bit since the playoff run. John Cooper has fiddled around with Stamkos, and... you remember in the playoffs, Stamkos wasn't on the ice in a couple crucial moments for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Stamkos wants to play center. He's a 6'1" guy who's
and he's on
solid,
the wing.
Who's playing the wing.
Also, interesting you mentioned the coach. They signed him to a 3-year extension.
Before...
saying, this is our man, standing by their coach, which I respect. I respect the move. Don't get me wrong. Come out and stand by your coach.
Right.
I get that. But that's a bold statement, especially when you think about what you've just mentioned. Hasn't been always rosy between those two guys.
And with superstars, I believe the same applies to our life. Happy wife, happy life.
Agreed.
If Stamkos is happy, Stamkos will perform. If LeBron is happy, LeBron will perform. If Stamkos has the opportunity to sit there and say, huh, Mike Babcock, who said, we will wait as long as we can for Steven Stamkos to play on Team Canada. Or John Cooper, who won't let me even play center or put me on the ice when it's crucial time. And Mike Babcock and the Leafs are dying for a center. And I'm from Toronto. And
yeah, keep going.
Mike Babcock chose this place. Lou Lamoriello left New Jersey. Mm-hmm. He didn't get fired. The Devils would never fire Lou Lamoriello. He chose to leave to go to the Leafs.
Things are happening. Attractive things.
And you know what? This is the Leaf fan in me. But when I watch a Leaf game and I see Mike Babcock behind the bench, I still do not believe it. I'm sorry. It is so cool to see, I think, before he was a Leaf coach, the best coach in hockey, come to the Leafs, and the Leafs haven't had the best coach in hockey. I don't even know. Like, maybe it was Conn Smythe, or maybe you could argue Roger Nielsen was very close to one, but the best coach in hockey chose the Leafs. And why can't one of the best players look at that and think, hey, maybe I should?
I think the Babcock move is already paying dividends. Yeah. They are playing. The system is becoming.
Other than for Frankie Corrado.
Yeah, adapted by the players. Going into, you know, they don't get me wrong. They lay some eggs. They come out and they play like the team that we expected them to all year. But then they go into St. Louis, which is a very good home team, and burned my picks last week at home. And they play really well against St. Louis. And I just think when you see performances like that, I got to think Babcock. I got to think the coach, because when you look at the lineup and the talent on that roster, you got to give props to the coach. And currently, when you look at that roster, there's one name missing, and he's down on the Marlies playing some puck in the AHL.
You think he's missing, eh?
He's supposed to be the Leafs' number one goalie, and he's the Marlies' number one goalie. Also, the Marlies, oddly enough, had to sign the goalie trainer.
I was so mad they didn't call me.
Like
I won my last two games in E Division Men's League.
So Reimer got hurt, so they had to call up Bebo to back up Sparks, and then luckily Bernier was down there for starting. And then they had to sign. Was it the goalie coach?
Or no, it was the Zamboni guy.
The Zamboni guy.
Yeah,
played backup for the Marlies.
Where?
So
where?
You know, Bernier's down there on the Marlies. He's playing what?
How sauce? You think that guy was like? Was he just hanging out, just like crushing a brew? And he's like
on the bench.
No, like before.
When he got the call.
Yeah, yeah, like you think he was at the Rico's bar just,
I hope so.
Whatever your name is, you got to play net. He's like, hey, yeah, all right, I'll take two. Well, and then like Dips goes to the room, like hacks a dart and chills with the boys.
Takes the page out of Ed like Belfour's playbook. It's half whiskey, half ginger in the bottle at all times. Honestly, ask my dad. Ed Belfour, great goalie, better boozer. He was heavy on the sauce. Watch some highlights, and he's just like, I'm going to go for a skate now. Oh, there's the puck. Oh, where's my bottle? It's just like, I miss Ed Belfour. But in all seriousness, Bernier being down in the A.
Back-to-back shutouts.
He's playing okay. I think this is what he needed, though. This is the Babcock, like, kid.
Yeah.
You're not playing well. Go down there and prove you can play.
Yeah.
And come back, and we'll talk. Because right now, obviously, Rhymes is hurt, but Rhymes is the man.
Yeah.
And if Sparks keeps playing like that, Bernier plays like crap again, I think he's going to get another chance to come up and Sparks will go back down.
Right.
But now, don't you think Babcock's going to be a lot more inclined to reach back down to the Marlies and swap him out for Sparks?
I think one thing that's going to be interesting with Bernier moving forward, and you've been on this for a couple weeks where you wonder about Bernier's personality.
Yep.
And Bernier's leadership qualities. And I think Bernier deciding to go to the Marlies, acting like a complete professional about it.
For once.
He took out the entire team for dinner.
Wow. He can afford it.
In his post game, actually, you know when he did it too? Right after they got off the bus from Rochester because it was a long ride. He took them out for dinner.
Did they eat at Chick-fil-A's or did they eat at like the Olive Garden? Because the Olive Garden is proper all-you-can-eat breads.
All-you-can-eat breadsticks? So good.
Because, yeah, anyway. I'm
hungry.
If
you
I'm really hungry.
Me too. If you look at him in his post-gamer, wearing a Toronto Marlies flat brim, like Bernier is... He's acting as if he's a Toronto Marlies, and I give him full respect for that. I think this is fantastic for Bernier.
So maybe he's now accepting this role.
He's just decided.
Now he's accepting this role.
Like, I think he's what he's learned is that nothing comes free. And I think what was interesting, I remember guys were talking about Bernier getting sent down, and they were saying, oh, you know, they're probably going to send him down for conditioning stint and make sure he only plays like on a home swing. No, they made him ride the bus. They made sure Bernier had to remember what it was like when you didn't earn, you had to earn everything to get back to where you were.
Because he hasn't earned anything.
No, he has not. And you know what? That's the problem for Leaf goaltending since the departure of Ed Belfour.
Hey. Boozy Belfour.
So the departure of Belfour has left that gap forever. It's going to be intriguing, though, because whatever, Bernier could post 4 straight shutouts in the AHL.
Word of the day, other than extrapolate, intriguing. Go ahead, continue.
But it's going to be shot one, second one, game one, back in the NHL. And until Bernier does that in the NHL, question marks will be there. But I personally think, you know, it's funny, if you look at Bernier's numbers, comparable to a lot of goalies in the NHL, he's very comparable to a guy like Corey Crawford, if you take out this 10-game span. After this 10 games, if you remove that, Bernier has a 2.45 goals against in his career and a .916 save percentage. Corey Crawford only has a 2.35 goals against average and a .912 save percentage. It's the better team is helping certain goalies, but I do agree that Bernier needs to be better.
We've mentioned, though, talking about Bernier, it's a constant thing with him because I think we both like Bernier as a goalie. And I remember when Nonis made the move to get Bernier. It was Fratton, Scrivens.
And a third, I believe.
And I really liked the move. And he came to Toronto and he played amazing the first couple weeks. He stood on his head. And, you know, the stats are one thing. But I still honestly believe, and we talked about it before, that his best hockey is ahead of him.
Same.
I hope for Toronto sports fans, as I always got their back, is... That's in Toronto. His best hockey is in Toronto, but who knows?
We can see the future, and you know what? It's starting to look pretty good. In 3 years ago, we would look down and be like, "So yeah, Boyd Devereaux played pretty good last night. That's not bad."
Yeah,
I guess.
Wait, Jason Allison was on the team for a while.
He's still finishing that penalty shot against Ottawa.
Oh my goodness! But you're right. The future is really bright.
Right,
and especially if you look down the old 401 West to London, Ontario,
where it ends.
That is a pretty bright light shining for the Toronto Maple Leafs with Mitch Marner, captain of the London Knights.
Do you want to hear how this guy's a fantasy monster?
Hey, stat guy, you're slipping. Here's Joe with the stats. Hit me, brother.
Mitch Marner from the London Knights, 25 games played, 22 goals, 36 assists, 58 points, 34 PIMs.
And that's this season? That's the current season. On pace for 146-point season.
Yeah.
Last year, he was 1 point shy of the scoring record. He was 1 point back of, was it Dylan Strome?
Dylan Strome, yep.
Dylan Strome won that. This kid can score.
A little bit.
He can dangle. He can score. He can lead. He's a captain. He's going to be a key piece of the World Junior team. Where's the tournament this year?
It's in Finland.
Back in Europe, got to be.
It's in Finland, yeah.
That's going to be, I hope, his coming out party. I really hope he kind of harnesses the big stage and we can see what he's made of because he's going to be playing on the biggest of stages if he makes the blue and white. I love that tournament as it is.
Oh, I think it is very close to the Olympics. I might like it a little more.
It's just such a treat when it's over in Europe and, you know, you've had like 9 straight days of family and meat.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, I can wake up at 5 in the morning, silent, and watch this game.
Yeah.
It's such a treat.
Yeah. And the good thing is people kind of leave some beer hanging around.
Oh, my God. There's so much rum.
After
it's
the
ridiculous.
Christmas day.
Like Appleton's.
Some eggnog, bud.
Appleton's Estates stock goes up pretty heavy in December because of me. But anyway.
They're estates because of Flip. They used to be Appleton House.
We are rum people. But I'm also excited this year, honestly, to watch Mitch Marner perform.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we've been lacking in Toronto a stud prospect to look forward to. And now, all of a sudden, you have a few. So it's exciting times, I think, for the future of Toronto hockey, especially when you look at guys like Mitch Marner.
And what's intriguing is...
There it is again.
I remember talking to Marner... And I said to him, I'm like, it's that's a serious number you're trying to wear. And be careful, because in Toronto, the number 93 is not taken lightly.
Nor should it be.
Nor should it be. This guy has 34 PIMs and 58 points in 25 games. He's also a little tenacious. He's got some attitude to him. He's chippy. I like that.
And he's, what, he's 19 years old?
He's 19 years old.
He's 19 years
old. Only, I think... maybe 6 feet now. And he was drafted, I think he was 5'10 or 5'11.
And he's going to continue to grow, and that was the point I wanted to make about him. Guys are like, oh, that I've heard a knock on him, and is his size?
Yeah.
I'm like, he just turned 19.
Yeah.
Can we pump the brakes on being overcritical of a kid who's done nothing but perform? Also, I think what I trust in most is where he's coming from. He's coming from London. He's molded by the Hunter brothers. They don't put a C... on anybody.
Right.
And if you look at where that C has been over the past 10 years, there's been some pretty good players to come out of London wearing that C.
Yeah.
Jonathan Tavares, just to name one.
Yeah.
And I really do think he's the real deal. Obviously, 19, lots to come. I hope they groom him right. I think in Babcock, we can trust there's not going to be any BS with his, you know, upbringing. But I think for Leafs fans, you just got to be patient, because he's coming. He's coming. It's just, it might be a little bit.
You know what the thing is, though? I find in our generation, I feel like we are kind of killing the moniker of stupid Toronto fan. I don't think Toronto fans are unintelligent. And I think what we've seen with Leaf fans as of late, and I... almost believe it's coming from the rap fans and it's coming from the Blue Jays fans, where it's, look at your organization realistically, give them an actual chance to do what they're doing, and don't overvalue. For Morgan Riley's ability, Toronto has been very quiet about him. Luke Shen, on the other hand, was completely overblown.
Great comparison.
But we look at what Toronto fans are able to do now, and they're able to logically look at the organization and assume this is what they need. We'll wait. We have talent. Let's not freak out. We don't need to be the worst team in the league. Look at Edmonton. We don't need to make the playoffs right now. Look at like teams like Ottawa who do that and then don't make it for two other years. Let's just take our time with it, see where we go. And it's been proven that that works, because Raptors fans have been watching that dividends get paid out for a while. And now the Rap fans are able to see their team build, like completely built, without, you know, winning yet.
Now, are Leafs fans more inclined to be thinking this way and feeling that way because Babcock's here now? Shanahan's here now. You mentioned Lou Lamoriello. Now it's... you can actually feel comfortable in saying that. Whereas before, with the guys running this team, John Ferguson Jr. and Cliff Fletcher, to name a few, they'd come out and maybe mention, we're going to rebuild, or the idea is there, or, you know, plans are mentioned, and you, like, you're mentioning Toronto fans would maybe go helter-skelter, if you will, and, you know, blow up or react one way and react the other way. I think Babcock and these guys have kind of brought a calm over Leafs fans.
And that's because I think what you're... I actually once spoke with John Ferguson Jr. and I asked him about being the general manager of the Leafs.
Name drop.
And he said to me, there's just some things you can't do in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to rebuild.
Like drive anywhere without traffic.
Yes.
Or drink in public, which is whack anyway.
Yeah. So he basically said to me that he couldn't rebuild the organization. He had to go and get Lindros and Allison and all these dumps that you didn't need. But when you look at the Leafs organization, I think the biggest cog is Brendan Shanahan.
COG cog.
Yeah, and now starting to become TOG.
Woo! Boom. I wish we had the horn.
So he looked at this organization and said, can I be a general manager? No. I need to find one. Then he said, I clearly can't coach. What am I going to do? Yeah, I'm going to find the best one available. Okay. I don't know how to scout. I'm going to find one of the best assistant GMs / scouts from the OHL. Boom, there's Hunter. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about advanced stats. Who's the leader in advanced stats?
Dubas.
Kyle Dubas. And then he sat there and said, I have a young general manager in the making. I need somebody who's going to teach him how to demand respect, how to demand winning.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Lamoriello.
Yep.
He set up a hierarchy that not only makes sense, each piece folds into each other. Babcock despises losing, as does Lamoriello.
No, it's winning.
It's just perfect.
No, you mentioned it.
It's winning.
It's the caliber of guys up there, and I think they're hoping for a trickle-down effect.
The Blue Jays want to create sustainability. The Leafs want to win. And that's the word that's missing for the Blue Jays right now. But the Leafs, Babcock says, we're in the business of winning, okay?
Yeah, right? he's
And that's the truth.
Don't get too amped up, pal.
No, but I'm
one
happy.
One rant per show.
No, this is a happy one.
Okay, so it's just Joe's a little amped up today.
I am.
The coffee, the Seattle's best. It's maybe has an extra shot of espresso in there. You know, you're looking healthy.
I am trying.
Something we can't say for the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, that big. Anybody who's a Raps big, be careful. You're going down.
The injury bug has bitten pretty hard.
Yeah.
Down went JV. We've talked about that.
Yep.
Down goes Bebe Noguera.
Who was so impressive.
He's really impressed. Coming off the bench.
He's so impressive.
He was that guy in a suit all last year, yeah. And now he's that guy who can actually play.
By the way, do you know what his new nickname is in Toronto?
Let's hear it.
He's the Long Weekend.
Wow.
Right?
He's the Long Weekend.
How great is
that?
That's
so good, but now he's injured, okay. So he's down. I don't know for how long. Sorry to temporary excitement, yeah. But, so he's injured, and now who is the... Oh, Damari Carroll's out for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Noguera, I think, is short-term. Yep. Should be day-to-day, maybe week-to-week tops.
We're back into biz, baby.
But Damari Carroll hurts the Raps. It's really been a back-and-forth struggle for the team on one night, off the other night. Just beat the Lakers. That's kind of expected. The Lakers are a very bad team. Damari Carroll, I think, as much as, you know, we mentioned them being able to deal with JV's injury,
yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be able to deal with the injury to Damari Carroll. He was their big signing in the offseason. He was the big splash, the guy that has really been the heart and soul guy, if you will. Maybe not played the best, but definitely been the heart and soul glue that's held the team together. And I'm concerned now if he's out for an extended period of time, if this puts too much strain on Damar and Kyle, who have been playing amazing, and we'll get to Kyle in a sec. But can they now elevate their game? Because before JV goes down, the big guys stepped up.
Yeah.
Now Noguera goes down and Damari goes down. Pressure's now going to spread to the stars. Now, can they perform?
Well, I think tonight's going to be the biggest test. I mean, you're facing the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, my goodness. The Spurs are in town?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? You faced a peewee basketball team in the Lakers last night. And the Lakers look like what a house league team looks like. They just got one kid who can just do everything.
Kobe was pretty good last
night. Kobe was good, man. And you know, a big shout, you know, we talked about him last time. Big shout out to Kobe Bryant. We're going to miss you. It was awesome to see you.
I'm
going to
miss watching Bean play, man.
Right.
Like,
it's going
to
be great.
LeBron said, I'm going to miss watching him play. So much love to Kobe.
But I mean, what the Raptors showed against the Lakers is that you allowed them to score 91 points. Or 98 points or whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
And that's
we don't
just,
care.
You know, that's...
Stat guy slipping again.
Like, that's not the greatest amount of points to let the Lakers score on you. San Antonio last night dished out the worst loss in 76ers history, beating them 119-68 or something like that.
51 points. It was the third largest defeat in NBA history in any game.
And, like, look at the time we're in. Like, this is, like, this is guys back 40 years ago were not anywhere near as good as guys now. Like, the worst guys 40 years ago were terrible.
Their ninth and 10th guys played last night for San Antonio.
And crushed it.
And their 10th guy, I forget, is like Miletovic. I forget his name. They're like, I'm sorry about that.
That guy's getting fired.
Yeah, for sure. He scored 24 points.
That's ridiculous.
He hadn't had more than four all year. Like, Ginobili didn't play, Parker didn't play, and Duncan didn't play. Kawhi Leonard
Every
played like
they
8 minutes.
That, they smash guys.
But now it's to the point, you know, like, we'll come back to the Raptors in a second.
Yeah.
But this is another story out of the NBA this year that definitely needs to be mentioned. This is a professional basketball team. They have one win, and it was against the Lakers, who are almost as bad.
Yeah.
One win.
Professional is a loose word.
But, now, yeah, it's extremely loose.
Yeah.
What is going on in Philadelphia? Who are they drafting down there?
They're trading them every year.
Are they looking at the NHL draft board? Because I don't know who is playing basketball in Philly. This is embarrassing. It's almost as bad as DeAndre Jordan shooting free throws, which I hope makes Joe's rants one day soon, because it's just madness.
Yeah.
How can you be a professional team and you've won one game out of the last 30-something? What the hell is going on, Philly?
Well, I mean, we always talk about what the Blue Jays are missing, and we always say the Blue Jays are missing a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Philly is missing everything. Like, I remember, again, big name drop. I remember when I was really young, I was talking to Chuck Swirsky.
Woo!
And we were about to trade Vince Carter. He was just done with Toronto. Somehow I talk about Vince Carter every day.
You love him.
And Chuck Swirsky said, yeah, well, we got jerseys. That's what they had at that point. They had jerseys.
Yeah.
Philly, they're not even that nice.
And the thing is, they just redid them too this year. They
too.
Redid the logo and everything, and people hated it. And they've had a couple of top picks.
I know, and they've wasted them. But again,
like Okafor is there, right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
But okay, he's like a hood rat.
Listen, if anybody has some time, Google Save Jahlil Okafor. It's on Bleacher Report or on YouTube. It's a video. It's like a 20-second video that fans in. Fans in Philly did, and it has that song like I will remember you, because like poor guy, it's like a one of those like donate like $2 to save Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, no, he's
because it's that bad.
Now he is the superstar they were looking for.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he looks like a superstar in a bunch of minor leaguers.
He was supposed to be the guy. Now he's had all kinds of off court issues.
Yeah.
The on court issues are. By far the ugliest, but, you know, he's clearly got a behavior thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm bringing up is the search for that superstar.
Yeah.
The Raptors, right? Are they still searching for their superstar? Have they found it in Kyle Lowry, who has really played solid, went toe-to-toe with Steph Curry the other night? You know, we have to have our token shout-out to Ali Khanrav Johnny.
Right.
Shout-out to AK. I wonder what he would think about Kyle Lowry and him being a superstar or not.
See, now it's funny because this is what Ali Khanrav Johnny believes.
Okay.
He believes that Kyle Lowry is the superstar that Toronto's been needing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the question. When you look at what Kyle Lowry has been able to do since coming over to Toronto, minus his first year, he has committed himself to being the best Kyle Lowry he can be. And that is impressive.
Definitely.
He's lost 15 pounds. He looks unbelievable. He still has not been hurt, which is something that's very odd for Kyle Lowry, because usually he's nicked or bruised by now.
He's a rough tumble player.
He really is. And I think we got to see a little bit of his coming out party against Steph Curry.
Huge.
Nobody has gone toe-to-toe with Steph Curry yet. And I know that sounds very weird, but not many guys have put up 40 points against Golden State, let alone
doing
it.
At the same position.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's been intriguing to see.
There it is.
And I, man.
You love it.
I do. And I think if Kyle Lowry could be that superstar, then the Raptors are a lot closer than Toronto fans believe.
I think we've seen some flashes out of him in the past couple weeks. You know, I'm probably one of the biggest Kyle Lowry fans you're going to meet. He's tenacious. He's a bulldog. He's a general out there on the court. He's the leader. Is he the leader that the team needs some nights? Maybe not in terms of his play. Can he get there? From what I've seen in the past couple weeks, I really am starting to think so.
Mm-hmm.
I really want him to succeed so badly.
Same. He's a great story.
great story, and just I love the hustle. I love the tenacious attitude, and he's one of the smaller guys out there, especially now that he's dropped some weight.
Yeah.
But he goes right at the big bodies. He takes the ball right at the bigs, and I really, really love his style of play. Do you think he can be that superstar?
Well, I hope so. And I think if this season and the last season has been any indication, mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry has another level, and he seems to be getting there. And it's at a good period of time because Kyle Lowry's re-upped for a while. DeMar DeRozan is having to prove himself, and he's still being overshadowed by the mini Kyle Lowry. So I would hope to see it. If there's anybody that deserves it, I believe it's Kyle Lowry. The guy is heart and soul.
Heart and soul. Number 7 in the Raptors lineups.
Number 1 in your hearts.
Number 1 in your hearts. But we're at number 27 on episodes, and we're also out of time for today.
But I figured we have one. I say let's give us 1 minute. Let's not leave without Flip's picks, because we got to make sure that you guys can get back whatever you lost on last week's Flip's picks.
Now, last week's Flip's picks was a little bit off the cuff. This week for Flip's picks, I'm going to go to a bread and butter pick for you guys. Something that we didn't have time to talk about on today's show, but another team that's undefeated, switching over to the NFL, to the gridiron. The Carolina Panthers are not getting nearly enough credit, Joe.
Yep.
On the field, off the field, in Vegas, anywhere. It doesn't matter. They're not getting the cred. I'm telling you, if you're taking any football picks this weekend, you got to go with the Carolina Panthers. 12-0, I believe.
Yep.
Cam Newton is clicking, dabbing MVP. Left and right. Not getting enough credit as well for his play, and yep. I'm not reinventing the wheel here. You NFL pick'em guys, hammer the Panthers this Sunday. I believe it's a 1 o'clock kickoff for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I would go with the Panthers, Joe, as Flip's pick for episode 27.
There you go. Take the Carolina Panthers because they are perfect. And you know what, sports fans? You guys are perfect because the 6 is outstanding.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for listening. I'm Joe Narsa alongside big man Flip Livingstone. And we're out.
Thanks, guys. Oh.